Welcome to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. We all contemplate making changes in our lives that would allow us to live more authentically, but it can be hard to take action. Allison is here to educate, equip, and empower you with the tools you need to start authentically living life your way. Get ready to eradicate your limitations and destructive patterns as you take full responsibility for your own happiness. This show is not just talk. It is conversation for profound self-awareness, acceptance, and appreciation, the key elements to stepping into the power as the creator of your very best life. The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe starts now.
Hey everyone, welcome. You're listening to The Alley Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. You can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month right here on Transformation Talk Radio as we dig deep into this concept of authenticity with different topics that support you in authentically living life your way. Because we all know, as amazing as the idea of authenticity may sound, it's actually a lot harder than most people might think, especially in today's day and age. So you can stay with me for the next hour as we dig into one more area, offering you actual tools, tips, and resources to educate, equip, and empower you in authentically living life your way. This is where you come to transform through practical tools and real talk. So the last three episodes have been all about the SOS, those SOS episodes where we talked about your inner tools, some of the resources that you have that you use to deal with life, make decisions, handle hard conversations, and muster through with difficult people. Basically, all of the tools that you use to get by from day to day. And during the course of that, I presented just kind of this hypothetical situation where what would it be like if we drove by your house and in the midst of that, we said, hey, why don't you lay out all of the tools or the utensils that you use in order to really just figure things out in your life? Like, what would that opportunity be like? And what would we see if we really could tune in to how resourced you feel inward? And so we looked at those tools and I introduced you to the SOS toolbox, that sense of self toolbox. And I presented you with resources such as self-anchoring, self-defining, and self-permission, just to name a few. It's a pretty powerful series of episodes where you can really look at some of the things you have in order to cope with life in general and really figure out some ways to be maybe re-equipped or better equipped. Today, we're going to take that work even a step further. I want to dig into yet another personal realm, poking and prodding a little bit more at some of those intimate levels inside of you. Today, as we look inward, I want to shine some light on some patterns that perhaps you will recognize pretty quickly, patterns that you may be using to navigate through your life, to deal with relationships or stress as you're trying to build a life of your own. What are the patterns that you tend to engage in just as you're relating to the world? We're going to look at how you show up. How is it that you show up in the world on a day-to-day basis? Now, some of these you may be incredibly proud of. These may be working very deliberately and consciously for you. And these methods might be bringing you a lot of happiness and fulfillment. And I have said multiple times with this type of work, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? If this is working for you, then by all means, keep on keeping on. But what I find is that when you start to go through these patterns and you begin to recognize some of these things and the way that they're showing up in your life, I want to introduce you to what I refer to as the DHPs, otherwise known as the dishonoring Ps. These are patterns that you have probably learned a long time ago, ways that you have learned to show up in the world. Now, you may see yourself in a few of these. You may see yourself written all over them. Maybe you've never really understood the impact that these patterns have on you, or especially, I mean, this is a show about authenticity. you may have never been able to understand before how if you start to see yourself in any of these dishonoring P's, these patterns, how they interrupt and interfere with your path of authenticity. You may see yourself in a few, you may see yourself in every single one of these patterns. We're going to cover several of them over this episode and certainly the next one too. It's not uncommon for people to see like, oh yeah, I do that, I do that, I do that. It might be a little painful, maybe even a little eye-opening, but it certainly isn't uncommon if you start to see threads of each of these patterns in yourself. I wonder, have you ever stopped to think about how you show up in life? Like what's going on in your world, the way your inner working, your coping mechanisms, the thoughts that you have you ever taken the time to stop and think about how it is that you show up in the world? Have you ever stopped to think about what is it that you believe to be true about yourself? Opinions or thoughts, personal beliefs or values that you have about the kind of person you are in the world? Now, this is deep stuff, right? This is the pattern of being able to think about what you're thinking about, okay? Most people don't do this. Most people are just kind of going through their day, day to day, minute to minute, and they've got this entire inner script and dialogue that they subscribe to without even realizing. It's like having music playing in the background of your life and not even realizing like what it is that you're listening to in your own head. The opportunity today to start thinking about ways that you are engaging in the world, to see how well entrenched, like these might be deeply entrenched in terms of your thoughts, your behaviors, the belief systems that you have, and definitely your coping mechanisms. Maybe you've never even really stopped to assess, to clarify, or certainly to correct any of these patterns. Most people are just going along to get along, and they are moving along quite well on autopilot. And it's this opportunity where we can stop and really pay attention to more of those inner workings. What I have found, the reason that these are so well entrenched is that so much of this stuff becomes planted or shaped from a very early age. We just go through life and there's specific life events. Maybe something happened. Maybe something didn't happen. Maybe someone said something or didn't say something. You got picked for the team. You got an F on a test. You were broken up with, you know, whatever it is. It's like all these normal life events, but somehow they begin to plant a seed. They plant a seed about what you believe to be true. And the ball begins to, it's set in motion to lay the foundation for how you learn to show up in the world, what you determine to be true about yourself, about others, about the world in general. Most people become very solidified in these, you know, they have the early childhood experiences and those little silly belief systems become solidified without even really checking to assess. It's like growing up believing that 2 + 2 = 5 and you never have to really clarify that. Most people assume that they're just right, that the lens that begins to be shaped from a very early age become solidified as the lens that they start to see their entire world without ever really doing any lens cleaning or like fact checking. Like fact checking has kind of become a thing more in our world. And rarely do I find that people do any fact checking on their own belief systems. Today, I want to offer that. I want to slow the roll on all of those autopilot, well-ingrained habits and help you take a look at the ways that you've been functioning in the world and help you explore the ways that you're approaching life to see how well it's working for you and maybe how well it isn't working. This is where you can begin to understand yourself and some of the tactics that you've learned to use to relate to others, to manage stress or mistakes that you've made, to deal with that dreaded vulnerability, right? Like so many people have such a hard time being authentic or vulnerable, showing up the way that they really are in the world, dealing with competition or comparison, especially in today's day and age of social media, you know, the pressure of all of that kind of stuff. And even ironically enough, the ways that you've learned to adapt to the world in terms of happiness, success, growth, right? Like it's weird that we would really think about how is it that people struggle even with those dynamics. And yet People really do. How is it that you've learned from a very early age to show up in the world in order to get some of those core needs met? And how effective are those things? What I know is that as kids, we start figuring things out. We start putting random pieces together in ways that you've learned to just get your basic core little needs met. We draw conclusions at a very early age. And an example of this, and this is a very, very silly, simplistic, faulty conclusion that I made, but it goes to make a point in terms of how from an early age, kids will witness certain things. I remember the very first time I witnessed my mom without her wedding ring on. Okay. And in my own little limited perspective, my own concrete black and white perspective, which is very common for kids that age, I grew to believe that, like, oh my gosh, if the ring was off, so was the marriage, right? This panicked response of this belief system that began to be shaped for me and my reaction to that and how overwhelmed and sad I remember being over something so silly, right? My poor mom probably was, I don't know, working in the garden, fixing a meal, washing her hands for good, you know, like she was probably just doing something that kind of required her to not have her rings on. But there was me drawing this really extreme, faulty conclusion. No one ever told me that. It's not like anyone ever sat me down to say what this represented, or I don't remember watching a TV show or reading it in a book or anyway. It was just my own little mind that drew this conclusion. Now, this one was easily corrected, you know, maybe even created a few laughs throughout my childhood. A quick dose of reality cleaned up my perspective really easily. No harm, no foul. But the key comes in here with this perspective is that one was so simplistic and easy. How many bigger, deeper conclusions have you drawn or drawn mistakenly over the course of your life? What experiences have you had that have shaped your perspective and how you see yourself and the rules of the road in the world, things that you started to put together at a very young age? Thank goodness that one got cleared up for me. I don't know if maybe I said something, or maybe it was just because my dad kept coming home for dinner. I don't know, like somehow that belief very quickly got cleaned up and corrected for me. And it's such a silly example. Yet, what I do believe to be true is witnessing people and some of my own faulty conclusions at a very early age. What are the conclusions that you drew without even realizing it? Did you know that you had to somehow be very athletic, be very kind and good? Did you have to be very pretty and well-behaved from an early age? Were you the smart one? Did you learn how to work hard and sacrificial? These beliefs and behaviors start to influence different aspects of your life in really significant ways without your knowing it. The basic fact, we all have core human needs. The need to be heard, the need to matter, the need for attention and belonging, the need for love, fun, and connection. All of those are just such core human needs. I actually teach an entire course on my website, The Art of Effective Communication. I teach it live, but it's also on my website. It teaches people about their core human needs and the lengths they will go to in order to get those needs met, and how often people are working against themselves, sabotaging, so to speak, and totally unaware that they're being driven by these core needs, but yet they have no conscious awareness of what they're actually hungry for. It's the analogy I use, going to the fridge without knowing what you're hungry for and wondering why most people are walking away frustrated, irritated, disappointed. When we come back, I'm going to introduce you to the DHPs, the dishonoring Ps, to help you look at some ways that you may have been functioning in the world in order to get some of those core needs met. And I want to help you clean up some of those faulty belief systems to help you show up in a very different, more empowered, more authentic way in the world. You are listening to The Ally Effect with me, Allison Blythe. We will be right back and we will continue our conversations with about the DHPs.
St- Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Do you feel like you and your significant other have lost their initial spark? Then let Coach Martez and Wadrina guide you to strengthen your love and reignite that spark on the Coach Martez and Wadrina Layton Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Understanding love, accepting truth, and changing perspective. For more information, make sure you go to dreambuilderscoaching.net. That is dreambuilderscoaching.net.
We are back here on The Ally Effect with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. Authentically living life your way. If you're intrigued and you want to know more, I would be happy to connect with you in any way possible. If you want to call me, my good old landline is 859-341-7773. If you want to send me an email and just reach out, I check that email all the time, AllisonBlythe@live.com. Or if you're just in general curious about who I am and what I stand for, you can certainly check out my website. You can contact me through there, check out any of the course material, learn a little bit more about who I am. And that is AllisonBlythe.com. And any kind of social media, if you need a daily boost and you just want some kind of encouragement or see what's going on in the world, from my perspective, it's Allison Blythe Life Coach. Today, we are talking about a course that I offer, the DHPs, the dishonoring Ps. And I shared with you how often kids draw conclusions that you have various experiences with some. Some of those conclusions are pretty innocent and naive, like the one I shared about the wedding ring. Some are pretty healthy and productive and fine, and others are not so much, right? Some of them really become dishonoring patterns that you've learned to show up in the world. Mine about the wedding ring was really so simplistic, but I want to introduce you to my client whose name is Addie. And Addie came into my office basically just riddled with anxiety. I mean, she was incredibly distraught and she had been off and on medication for years. She had seen doctors and therapists and acupuncturists, and her last resort really was just a visit to a hypnotist, really just hoping for any measure of relief and support. It did not take me long to see her symptoms. Basically, she just came into my office just wringing her hands and a flood of anxious thoughts that just kind of poured out of her mouth as soon as she spoke. And then this peculiar message, I can't really show you, but like this peculiar method she had of like how she sat and how she conducted herself in order to kind of manage her anxiety as she just was trying to sit still, right? The anxiety oozed out of her. And as I do with people who come in for their first couple sessions, I started to dig into her history to kind of get a sense of what was going on and what had been going on for her. And she was very fueled by this anxious, overwhelmed perspective that she had. And as we went through her history, Addie actually disclosed to me that she had been raised in domestic violence situations. She had been witness to and subjected to really horrific occasions where there was just very volatile, explosive experiences. And she herself had been harmed on occasion. And probably more significant to her, she had witnessed those that she loved being physically harmed. Addie decided very early on that she just, it was her responsibility, right? She would bend herself inside out, trying to calm, soothe, and regulate the adults in her life to ensure that things did not get out of control. She was terrified, rightfully so, of the eruption that could happen at any moment. It became her personal mission, very unknowingly, very subconsciously, to gauge and assess the needs, the expectations of other people, to kind of sense when stress or conflict was starting to escalate and get out of control. She was able to piece together these things of her longstanding history, these coping strategies that she learned early on. And one of her main coping mechanisms is one of the first DHPs. and it is the pattern of placating. Addie had gone through most of her life making sure that everyone else was okay, that they didn't struggle in any way, that they kept calm, and that they were always appeased so that things didn't get too far out of control. And from a very early age, she remembered feeling like responsible, like in charge of the emotional temperature of the entire family. And could you imagine, like, that would be too much pressure as an adult, but as a child, like, to manage and regulate the emotions and the conduct of your entire family. My gosh, you can start to see where the anxiety could and would come from. So she believed, you know, very much like I did, you know, that mind so silly and innocent. And yet she too began to put together some pieces, some faulty beliefs, this far-reaching sense of responsibility and the role that she was to play in her whole family. Now, when she turned 18, that didn't magically go away. She didn't learn to kind of be boundaried and detached from people. She had taken the responsibility, the safety, the well-being, and actually kind of the core survival of her entire family weighed on her shoulders. No one ever taught her that. Like, we kind of went through that. Like, did she get that message? Was she assigned certain things as a kid? No one told her that. It was just something from a very early age that she adapted, and she took that role on. She never learned how to undo those patterns. So by the time she came into my office, she just believed, I'm just highly anxious, she would say. She had unknowingly adapted one of these DHPs, the dishonoring P's of placating, and it seemed to be one of the main ways she was functioning to go through her entire life. No wonder she was so incredibly anxious all the time. One of the things that's important to me to do so that we make sure we're on the same page is offer definitions, right? And most of my definitions come from dictionary.com. So I looked up the definition of placating, and it reads, make someone less angry or hostile. Again, right? Like, how can you ever be really responsible for managing the reaction of another person? I wonder for you, are you someone who focuses on other people? Do you give in to the demands and expectations of others in order to keep them happy? Because it's hard for you to express yourself freely and effectively, concerned about how other people are going to react all the time. Have you become someone who's just a yes person, no matter the cost to you? You always are trying to keep the peace, to keep people at bay. Do you mediate conflict and assume responsibility for always diffusing situations? Now, if you're getting paid to be a mediator, congratulations, right? You use the skill very, very well. However, if you are someone who tends to squash, mitigate anything, your point of view, your perspective, so as not to disturb, bother, or anger others while totally swallowing like your feelings and your reactions to things, this pattern is probably working pretty strongly. It's where it becomes a dishonoring P. You own other people's reactions and feel like it's your responsibility to mediate or manage whatever their reactions or feelings and their moods. Do you take their feelings on in order to feel responsible for fixing them in any way? I assure you that this is absolutely not your responsibility. And though you might not know that emotionally, hopefully you are at least beginning to recognize it logically. You may have a very hard time allowing other people to feel what they need to feel or experience what they need to experience. You may be someone who tends to get into the middle of a lot of people's reactions. Maybe the thought of like minding your own business or managing your own side of the street feels really scary to you because you're so used to managing the situation of other people. You might feel really uncomfortable and responsible for other people when it's best just to leave them be. So there you have it, that pattern of placating. And I wonder, can you recognize yourself in any of that? Maybe not to the extreme of Addie, or maybe even more significant than what she's experienced. So what are these DHPs? What, as I kind of go through this list, and we're going to spend this time together going through some of these patterns, the dishonoring Ps. So we're going to be covering perfecting, performing, personalizing, pleasing, pretending, procrastinating, proving, pursuing, pitying, pushing, passivity, they're coming to an end, I promise. And then finally, stay tuned for this one. You might bristle at this. The last pattern, prostituting. Yes, stick with me. You'll want to hear this at the very end about this pattern. We're going to cover that at the very end of the next show. You'll have to stay tuned to understand why maybe this pattern might be more relevant for you than you think. Before we go to break, I want to make sure we cover one more pattern. And this pattern is called perfecting. Now, we just talked about Addie and how she showed up in the office and very anxious and very distraught. And then I want to totally flip the script and introduce you to Liza. And Liza darn near knocked my socks off when she walked into my office. I mean, I think maybe she didn't walk. She like sauntered. You know, it's like Liza was stunning, absolutely stunning. Every single thing about her, the way that she looked, the way that she spoke, she sat flawlessly with her hands gently folded and almost like perched on the edge of the couch. And I felt like I was staring at a picture, like almost like a model of someone. The only issue, I mean, I've been doing this work for a really long time, and I'm usually really good at kind of assessing and kind of connecting with people. The issue with Liza is that like I couldn't reach her, right? Like I couldn't get in to what was happening with her. I couldn't tell. And it took weeks for her to really allow me behind that flawless facade. Perfectionism is a mask that typically disguises feelings of inadequacy or unworthiness. It's like a wall of perfection, deflection, you know, that keeps people out from seeing the parts, all of the parts, the good, the bad, the ugly. And you just want, you can't just show anything that's good. It has to be perfect. It's a way to stave off criticism and maybe to potentially gain like acceptance or approval from other people. There's just one problem with perfectionism. Like it's unachievable. We can maybe maintain it for a second or two, but like truly perfectionism in this state, inside, outside, it's totally unachievable. Maybe you try to be flawless in what you do, how you look, and what you accomplish. And it is such a self-induced pressure to be all, have all, for all, like, right? I mean, it's just like this pressure that you always have to be on, and the tendency to be very, very highly critical. You might be highly critical of yourself. You certainly might be very highly critical of others. You tend to be concerned about what other people think. And again, you stave off their input by being flawless and not letting them ever in behind anything to see who you really are. You're always trying to strive for more because you have this chronic sense of just never being good enough. You tend to have really unrealistic standards of yourself and of others. Things are really black and white in perfectionism. It's like all good, all bad, right, wrong. It's very rigid with perfectionism. And I wonder, do you tend to avoid things because you avoid things that you're not good at, right? Like if you can't show up perfectly, do you just steer clear? You never want to look silly. You never want to let anyone know that you get wobbly or could make a mistake with someone. I just challenge you. What is it that you're so afraid of? What are you concerned that people might recognize inside of you, right? Those are the things to dig in. Is perfectionism something that you can really relate to? Where would you rank this in terms of some of the P's that you might be struggling with? Placating, perfectionism. This is what we've talked about so far. When we come back, we're going to address a few more of the P's, dig in a little bit deeper to some of these patterns. And you are listening to The Allie Effect with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. Stay tuned because we're going to be right back talking more about these DHPs.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Are you living life, or is life living you? The destination may not be clear when we seek change, but we trust we cannot stay where we are. Healing and transformation coach Trish Campbell strengthens the mind-body-spirit connection. Diane McClade generates positive change by shifting perspective through choice. Get connected and gain clarity on the Shift podcast every first and third Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit invibe.ca for more info.
Don't miss Colette Marie Steffen on The Truth Is Funny, Shift Happens, every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Colette is a renowned energy worker here to help you see the serendipitous humor of the truth. It's funny. Tune in and laugh with Colette. Shift into your highest potential. Call into the show to work on your personal shift with Colette and visit thetruthisfunny.com to learn more about all the life-shifting services Colette offers.
Here we are back on The Ally Effect, authentically living life your way, talking about the dishonoring P's and how this is a show, obviously, about authenticity and understanding how these patterns really interrupt your path of authenticity. And so these are the patterns. What are these DHPs that I'm referring to? These are the patterns, things that you've learned from a very early age of how you've learned to show up in the world, things that get your basic needs met, the needs for attention or approval, the sense of mattering in the world. These are all core needs that we all have, but learning some perhaps maladaptive ways in order to get them met throughout your life. These are the DHPs. This course and this offering is really my attempt to shine some light on these patterns to help you be aware and really educate you on the ways that you are likely working against yourself. I introduced you to placating, that pattern that my client Addie was doing in her family and then later in life, causing so much anxiety and overwhelm for her. And then I introduced you to Liza, almost perfect Liza, you know, with her unrelenting standards. And I wonder for you, as you start to look at just these two patterns and I start to put these things together for you, can you see the way that you've tried to show up to try to gain attention in the world? Things that allow you to feel most accepted or acknowledged at home, amongst your friends, in school, in the workplace. Like, how is it that you learned to just be in the world? Did you need to fly under the radar at home, in your neighborhood, in your school systems? Things that kept you really far out of trouble. You learned to behave in these different ways so that you didn't cause any attention or draw any attention to yourself. Maybe these are things that helped you learn how to fit in. All of these patterns to start to understand that we have experiences when we are kids, and rarely do we ever stop to assess the quality of what we're doing or why we're doing it, or not only the quality, but like the effectiveness of what we're doing. These experiences, no matter how big or how small that they seem, they weave the fabric of who you are and the ways that you are learning to show up in the world and ways that you learn to kind of show up, to figure out problems in order to fit into relationships. These are all these little conclusions that we draw. These are patterns that set the foundation for what you believe to be true about yourself, the world, other people, and what you need to do to gain love, adoration, attention, the whole nine yards. Today, we are looking at these patterns to better equip you with some awareness, right? That basic tool I teach all the time, self-awareness, allowing you to step into those SOS tools, self-awareness, self-responsibility. We'll talk more about those at the end. If you want to see me really quick throw down the BS card, I want you to say something like when you're learning about these patterns, when my clients say, oh, I can't help it, right? Like I was just born this way. It's just the way I am, right? There I go, right with that BS card. I want to challenge you that there is no way you were born with these patterns. Babies do not come out of the womb looking to please anyone. When was the last time you were around a baby who really like was, oh, like designed to please other people, trying to be perfect, right? A baby just is. They're not perfect. They're not placating, mitigating conflict for other people. Your behaviors have been learned and reinforced over the course of time. And you certainly may have a certain disposition or nature about yourself. Maybe your temperament is a certain way, but these patterns have been rewarded and reinforced throughout your life. Maybe what's happening is that it's a good trait. Maybe you are someone who's very kind and accommodating. These are very good traits, but it crosses a line. That's where it starts to become dishonoring. It's a good thing gone a little bit too far. I want to really reinforce the self-talk, the importance of self-talk, so that when you're saying things like, I can't help it, it's just the way that I am, I really want to challenge you and hand you that tool of self-responsibility to say, yes, you absolutely can help it with some awareness, some understanding of what you're doing, and some conscious choice. You can absolutely change these faulty patterns and misperceptions. So with that being said, I want to move into more dishonoring P's. And this one, I got to say, even I'm guilty of this pattern. The next pattern I refer to as personalizing. This pattern tends to add so much unnecessary stress to life. I think we all do this to some extent. I mean, maybe just because I do it, I assume everybody does it. But like, I think we all have somewhat of a tendency maybe to get our feelings hurt by things, or again, something happens, something doesn't happen, and we kind of take that right to heart. A driver cuts you off and you think, oh, why did he cut me off? Or the clerk at the grocery store kind of slams your eggs at the bottom of the bag, or, you know, then throws your change at you and you're just like, oh, what did I ever do to her, right? We have a tendency to personalize other people's behavior. We become riddled with what other people do or aren't doing, thinking it has anything to do with us. You walk into a room and people are laughing and you just know for sure that they're laughing at you. Someone doesn't call you back and you just go through this mental torturous review of the past 20 years of your life, trying to think about, you know, what you could have done or should have done. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. You assume that other people's behavior is really because of you. Now, I'm not saying that other people's behavior doesn't affect you. I mean, of course it does, but rarely is it because of you. This is a really important distinction to make. Like an example might be if somebody steals your wallet, right? Like that totally affects you. That can really mess you up for quite a long time, and really the consequences of that. So a behavior like that affects you, but it's not personal. I don't think most people steal your wallet. They tend to steal a wallet that's available to them that they can get their hands on. You see the difference? That's the importance of being able to distinguish something that we're taking personally. Most things are not about you, though they may greatly affect you. I really mean this with a lot of love and assurance and encouragement. Most people aren't thinking that much about you. You know why? Because they're totally thinking about themselves. So like it, I mean that as like a really empowering way to go, don't worry so much about what other people are experiencing or the assumptions that you're making. People write a lot of stories in their head that have a lot to do with personalizing. People have bad days. Sometimes people can be horribly insensitive and unreliable. It can certainly impact you in certain ways, and it may affect you or hurt your feelings. But typically, it is not personal. If you are someone who is taking other people's behaviors, moods, words, anything personally, it's likely to be a pretty hard road for you. I would then direct you to Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote The Four Agreements. Phenomenal, simple read, but yet very impactful, where he teaches us to take nothing personally. Now, kudos to him, because I think that's very profound. But he really says, don't take anything personally, because really whatever other people do says everything about them. Sounds amazing, you know, maybe something strong for us to strive toward. I wonder if you are someone who is sensitive to the moods, words, reactions of other people. Do your feelings easily get hurt? And do you tend to assume that most things are really because of you? Are you someone who gets really upset and you assume that it's your fault, that you've done something or you haven't done something? When someone has a problem, do you think it's your responsibility to get in there to fix it or handle it in any other way? It's kind of another dynamic of personalizing. You have a tendency to like overown people's problems. Do you believe that their moods and their problems or their reactions are yours to manage, yours to fix, not just because of yours, but then now your responsibility? Whew, that's a big job too. Okay. And it's definitely not the case. People's moods and reactions and consequences are really about them to deal with. All right. So that's the behavior, or that's the pattern of personalizing. We have discussed three so far: placating, perfecting, and personalizing. I wonder, as we go through this list, what is it that you're seeing? Can you start to recognize some of these patterns that perhaps have really plagued you? Maybe they've just influenced you and touched a little bit of your thinking. Maybe it's something like some of the clients I've shared that's really plagued you. Can you see yourself in any of these examples? So before we go to break, I want to share one more. I want to introduce you to Lainey. Lainey, she had just such intoxicating energy. She was a ton of fun. She was really exuberant and overall just a very bubbly, positive person. She kind of bounced in the office every time she came in, and she was single and excited about entering in the dating world. She had graduated recently. She'd gotten her master's, and she had gone through a breakup years before, but she had really done the work, healing from that, kind of learning from that experience, and just ready to move forward. And at first, her energy was so contagious. It was just so fun to sit with her. And she had gotten online, and she was beginning to get excited about that too, because her inbox was very quickly flooded with invites and opportunities from people. And she went on several dates for several weeks. The first few months were just jam-packed with dates and exciting opportunities. But after a little while, she started to get a little frustrated. You know, most of the people she was meeting were not very good matches, and the shine was quickly wearing off after even date two. You know, she was kind of like, ugh. And her enthusiasm was really starting to wane, and her little smile started to dampen a little bit after several months of this. The holidays were quickly approaching, and she had mentioned several times this one gentleman that she had had several dates with, and he seemed to be so perfect on paper, right? She was like, check, check, check. He checked all the boxes, and by all rights, seemed to be a very, very good fit for Lainey. And yet, when I asked her and I checked in with her, and she and I had worked together for quite some time, she used this really peculiar tone in this voice. She was like, he's fine. It's good. And I was like, wait a minute. It was like this strangled look on her face. And thank goodness we had worked together, because all I really had to say to her was, seriously? She kind of unraveled in these tears and this fuss. Dating was really hard, and she was horribly bored. And yet she was really annoyed because these man boys who kept showing up and living in their parents' basement at 40, and, you know, people who were ghosting and not being very reliable. She had met this gentleman, and she kind of had several dates with him and was feeling like she was going to have to settle in. He was fine. He was nice. He was consistent. He had his own home, his own job. He had all of his teeth, you know, like all of these things. He was fine. And yet, Lainey was totally guilty of the next pattern, which I refer to as pretending. Are you someone who has lost touch with your personal truth? You were pretending not to be something, be in something. You're pretending not to feel something that you're really feeling. Maybe you're pretending to be something that you're not. You're suppressing your feelings, your needs, or your reality, spending money that you don't have, going to places you don't want to go, hanging out with people you don't want. You fabricated this story because you just don't want to face a hard truth about something. Lainey worked through this tool and realizing that she very much was pretending. And once she came to it, she realized that she had some hard choices to make. She had some hard conversations with her family, potentially with her, that quite frankly, she wasn't ready to have. No, you know what? No harm, no foul. At least she started to become honest with herself, which is one of the SOS tools, self-honesty. After a little time, she was able to face her truth. Jim was not Mr. Right, but he certainly was Mr. Right Now. That was what she was ready to address, her own personal truth. And I say, fair enough, right? So the next pattern that we just addressed was pretending. So there you have more of the DHPs. We're going to take our last break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up with just a few more DHPs. You are listening to The Allie Effect with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.LeahRowling.com.
Introducing The Brilliant Black Man Show with Melissa Johnson. Tune in as Melissa shares the stories of successful black men across the country. This show is designed to change the narrative of how black men are portrayed in the world. The show will highlight their brilliance and how they are making a difference in their family, community, boardroom, and the world. For more information on the show, visit wildministriesllc.com.
Here we are back on The Allie Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. So the DHPs, the dishonoring Ps, things that you may be using in your life that you're starting to recognize may not be working very well for you, things that you've learned to show up with and kind of the opportunity to shine some light and perhaps do that very differently after this series of learning. If you want to be in touch with me, visit my website, allisonblythe.com, or send me an email, allisonblythe@live.com. I am always fascinated to hear people's perspective about any of these. We have talked so far about the patterns of placating, perfectionism, and that awful pattern that we all tend to do to some extent of personalizing. And I introduced you to Lainey, who was really trying to pull off the great pretend, right, in her own life, her own dating behavior, because she just was struggling to deal with certain facts and having to face some hard conversations and potentially the holidays alone. I wonder, in these patterns that we've talked about, can you see yourself in any of them? Do you recognize any of your own behavior, your own attitudes, or your approach to dealing with situations with other people or with just life in general? Have you drawn some very innocent, childlike, naive conclusions like I did with those wedding ring stories that I told? Or has it been more profound? Have there been things in your life where you've kind of gone, oh my gosh, I put those two and two together and I just formulated this whole opinion and perspective, very much like Addie did, with feeling like her family's stability and even safety was her core responsibility. I wonder, as you recognize some of these patterns and we start to really shine some light on how these might be dishonoring to you, can you start to see how these have affected you over the years, the toll that maybe you have paid in order to like continue to show up in these ways? I would love to hear your perspective. And if you need some support or some encouragement through this, I want you to know that this is an entire course on my website. I'm going to be introducing small little pieces to you about each of these patterns. But if this is something that you're still kind of wondering about, like, please hop on over to my website and get your hands on that material so that you can have a little bit deeper guidance and instruction about this. A lot of times when we start to introduce this, people are often kind of left wondering, like, if these patterns are so well ingrained and they are so established and habitual at this point, they're hard to see. And so how can we really help it? You know, I said I was going to lay down that BS card if you say you can't help it. But like, if we're not born these ways, like, what can we do in order to like really begin to manage some of these things? I want you to know that the tool itself of self-awareness is one of the most important ones. These are so much more than just coping mechanism and habits. My hope is that as you start to practice this level of self-awareness, you can see very clearly how they are working against you. If you know that by now, my starting point is almost always going to be awareness, paying attention to what you're doing, where these patterns of maybe caretaking or somehow pacifying other people and telling yourself a crafty story to avoid having to face hard truths. Like, are those some of the tendencies that you have had? I encourage you to check yourself. Take the time to think about what you're doing and why you're doing it. Remember, I said, think about what you're thinking about. take the time to dig a little bit deeper with self-awareness. It's one thing to go, oh, you know, it's another to dig in, ask yourself, why am I doing this? And what is the motive behind some of your behaviors? Everything you do is attached to a need, right? I talked about that Art of Effective Communication class. Every single thing you do is attached to some kind of core need. And you might not even have any conscious awareness of what your needs are inside. So learning to tune in and pay attention to what you're doing and why you're doing it, self-awareness is a critical starting point as you begin this work. If these behaviors are so habitual and well established over the years, like we've talked about, it's important to learn these, that you can spot these behaviors pretty early on. It's like, oh, wait a minute, I'm doing that thing again, right? So your homework, watch out for these patterns. As we've discussed today, placating, personalizing, perfecting, pretender, pay attention to what you're seeing and how you're starting to recognize. How do you know when you're starting to engage in some of these? Can you dig a little deeper at what might be going on inside of you that you're using any of these? And one of the other tools that I will offer you is self-responsibility. As you're looking to really begin to assess how these are affecting you, taking responsibility. Well, who would I be if I didn't do this behavior? Or what would I do if I wasn't so worried about being perfect all the time? How would I show up? Would I say yes to this? Or do I need to start saying no to something? And taking responsibility for these behaviors of whether they're serving you or not serving you. I know that you probably can relate to at least a few of these. This information is really relevant and really has to do with the impact that this is having on your level of authenticity. We've talked about the idea that authentically living life your way. And these patterns, placating, personalizing, perfectionism, and even pretending, can you see how they actually are paths that move you further and further away from authenticity? And I think it was maybe the first or second show I offered, to thine own self be true. Self-anchoring is another tool I will offer you. Self-anchoring, like the ability to kind of hone in on what is your personal truth and how challenged some people are when they're engaged in these patterns and functioning so much on autopilot, not conscious at all of what they're doing or why they're doing it, that you are not in tune at all to this authenticity, really the ability to be so much more true to yourself. Any of these four patterns have your eyeballs focused so much more on other people more than on what's true for yourself. So part of self-awareness is, what's going on inside of me? What do I need? What behaviors am I engaging in, and how well are they serving me? Important stuff as we talk about. So as I said, my website is alisonblythe.com. There is an entire course on there that is the Dishonoring P's. And in there, we go through the entire 16, there's 16 of these patterns. We go through each one of these with a full assessment, like how do I know how relevant they are? There's a whole questionnaire that's on there that to help you identify what patterns, what P's really relate more significantly to you. If you want to check that out, please feel free, the Dishonoring P's on my website. If you have questions about any of this stuff, please let me know if there's some type of support I can offer you. Authenticity is scary. There's a level of vulnerability that's required. Showing up in the world as you really are intended to be. These patterns, they're dishonoring because they allow you to put on a face. It shows you more about how the world wants you to be or expects you to be, maybe the ways that you were taught and trained and reinforced from the time that you were very little. Like, what are the ways that you were encouraged to show up versus what's really your own personal truth? As you learn more, and we'll talk so much more next time about some deeper levels of DHPs, as we go through some of these patterns, you'll get a really conscious awareness of when that risk of vulnerability starts to show up, right? Like, oh, I'm moving away. If you think about authenticity being a target and you're moving that way more and more, you start to see when you engage in these patterns. It's just you getting off track just a little bit, a little bit. Self-awareness, self-responsibility, right, allows you to tune back into the path where you are heading. So I want to thank you for tuning in. I love offering this material and helping people start to realize, where are they getting off track with this path of authenticity? We really are talking about authentically living life your way. And it is absolutely my mission to educate, equip, and empower. I'm really passionate about some of these. This is not about curing these behaviors, never engaging. You know, I would love to never personalize another thing in my world. Am I going to? Probably not, right? Like, it's probably going to be something. It's awareness that becomes the game changer. So what I would encourage you to do over the next couple of weeks until we can meet again, just stay aware of what's going on inside of you and why you're doing some of the things that you're doing. If you're ready for the tool of self-awareness, then I challenge you to that, right? If you're ready for another tool, self-responsibility, right? Like being willing to take a risk and try something different. So it has absolutely been a thrill. Thank you for joining me. You can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month right here on Transformation Talk Radio, 1 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard. Next time, we're going to continue this conversation, the DHPs, and I want to help you learn some different methods of how you can start showing up in the world to authentically live life your way. See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to The Ally Effect with Allison Blythe. The moment you decide to take control of your own well-being, you start the journey of authenticity. Tune in next time for more empowering conversations and practical tools to help you shed your fear, worry, comparison, and less-than beliefs. Stick with us as you step into the driver's seat and head off onto the road of success and happiness. Your best life awaits.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.